All right, Dieter and Hutch. We're at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, where the 49ers just played some January football.
It was beautiful.
That's as good as it gets, man. I know that, you know, people want this flash and all these big plays and big yardage playing fantasy football. I'm sound like John Gruden, man. I love it when you bring in a second tight end, man. That's what I'm talking about.
It was phenomenal. I mean, we honestly, Dieter and I, the entire time we're just texting, we're like, Saubert.
I think we sent Saubert back to each other like 12 times.
Just said Saubert.
For 12 and, personnel.
Yeah, and that was literally my number one takeaway. And I'm like, I know it's, listen, I know it's like the first,
it's granular.
I know it's like we're talking about a backup tight end here, right?
Yeah.
First game of the season, big win.
Yeah.
Over the Jets, lots of prime time, lots of stuff to talk about. Christian McCaffrey's hurt. But man, at the core of this game was the 49ers just running it down their throat with two tight ends, sometimes going to 22 personnel.
They did 22 personnel like three times.
Basically three tight ends out there. And you just got Jordan Mason. The only wide receiver was Chris Conley in those situations.
Yep.
And you've got Jordan Mason running it down the Jets' throat. And the Jets had no answer. They had no answer on either side of the ball, really.
Right.
And it's really like Eric Saubert blocking his ass off. It was awesome.
It was just the kind of game that you expect from the 49ers when you're playing an inferior. Like, why bother passing?
Yeah.
Why bother doing any? They were in
Don't
base.
Don't overcomplicate.
They were in base so much in this game. Dimitri Flanagan Fowles gets an interception. They're just in base.
Yep. Yep.
They could get away with it because Aaron Rodgers looked washed by washed. They were able to stuff the run against Breece Hall. I mean, Garrett Wilson had one hell of a catch.
They had one great drive, and then it was like, all right, that's done.
Yeah, guess we proved our point, guys. It was a really impressive game that the Niners showed off like 20% of what they got.
Yeah, I mean, Kittle literally said, the one positive about not having Christian McCaffrey, the playbook shrinks a little bit.
Yeah.
And so it's like they just are running. He's like, we just ran inside outside zone
that's
all
right.
day.
That's right.
And he's
they had one gap play to my count.
We talked to them, and he and Saubert are just beaming. Like, these guys are so stoked. Everyone except for maybe Trent. Trent was stoked.
Trent was tired.
Trent was gassed. I asked him, I was like, did you expect to run that much? He's like, no, that hurt.
Like, motherfuckers make like, me earn my new contract.
Right. But
Trent got so tired in that game, he told us that his tongue was cramping up. So you might have seen on ESPN, he went and had to go get an IV, comes back. I think he missed like one play, or one run.
Right.
And
it was the game was sealed.
The game was over. Like he came back in like a WWE wrestler, like getting the crowd amped and stuff, which, you know, he deserved it after that game. He was had a hell of a game, as you'd expect. But he was telling us, he's like, no, man, I was just cramping up. My tongue cramped up. I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't either.
I get bad leg cramps. I mean,
but man, there were
tongue cramps.
I was not aware that was a thing, but like being able to run just behind him, like I think that's my number one takeaway from this thing.
What do you got?
With all that shit from this offseason, all this contract stuff, all the whatever, are the 49ers going to come out? Like, we knew Ayuk was going to be limited, probably more limited even than I expected.
Yeah, tough game.
We weren't sure about like how much Trent, you kind of have to use him every snap.
Right.
And then McCaffrey all of a sudden is not playing. Not so all of a sudden. But despite all that, they just gutted the Jets in the most simple, straightforward terms possible.
It was interesting, too, because the Jets technically weren't a good team against the run last year, but you look at some of their personnel and you think to yourself, oh, they got a shot.
Right.
But I can see where Kyle Shanahan was coming from and saying their defensive line is in flux, right? They're going to go with Javon Kinlaw in the middle. We know what that looks like, even if Javon Kinlaw put on 20 pounds. We're going to attack C.J. Mosley. We're going to attack Wilson. Quincy Williams, thank you. And we're just going to go at him, and we're going to go hat on a hat. We're going to run zone left, zone right. Jordan Mason.
That's all they did.
Can we? Okay. I know that we're getting dorky and all this stuff. Can we just talk about the vision of for that guy to be the third string running back? And let's not forget, he's the third string running back because Elijah Mitchell is the second string running back, but Elijah Mitchell is on IR.
Done for the year,
The third string running back to have that kind of vision on inside zone runs is preternatural. Like
the cutbacks too. The cutbacks,
that's what I'm saying,
is like astounding.
I watched a lot of everybody else play in the NFL this weekend, right? That's the beauty of a Monday night game. I saw so many running backs just running into the ass of their offensive line.
I saw Breece Hall do it today. He could have bounced it outside, and he ran it straight into the offensive line.
A bunch. And so when you have Jordan Mason out there, not just getting to the hole fast, not just doing the classic Shanahan outside zone back, one cut and go, but also when you get to the second level on those inside zone blocks where the guy is climbing to the second level, trying to free you up, you have a lead blocker in 44 or 82. You have these guys coming in on traps from the outside. You have all this stuff, and you're able to not just get to the second level and get your 4 yards, but also to break it outside or break it inside based on where the linebackers are. Because when you're running inside zone, you're leaving a linebacker unguarded. Right. And the running back has to read the linebacker, and they just destroyed them in that.
And having the physicality to, even when there is like one linebacker where you say, okay, I actually can't beat him, get outside him, being able to either go at him or have the sort of force that Mason has, which is unique. And we were discussing, like, has anyone had that same sort of power rushing? Like, Mitchell was physical, but I think
Mitchell had it, but he couldn't execute it.
But Mason's, like, different. I think, I went back to Tevin Coleman, but Tevin Coleman's, like, he was sort of
physical. Tevin Coleman, NFC playoffs 2019.
Right.
It killed him.
Right. But, it like, that sort of physicality is sort of distinct. And the way he bounced off stuff, he was just phenomenal. And we saw it in the preseason game, and you went, well, it's the Raiders' third stringers. Apparently, it doesn't matter. It works against any defense.
I found the 49ers' run defense to be very impressive tonight. Now, listen, we have to put all this on the caveat of that Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old. He's coming off an Achilles injury. He kind of was washed by his hyper-elite standards before he tore his Achilles. He was parking and barking back there. To steal a phrase from the Ringer Fantasy Football Show guys, like he couldn't move and he had no zip on the ball unless he had 4 or 5 seconds.
It
to
was
step
like
into one.
They gutted the 49er. It reminded me a little bit, not in a totally different way, but I remember back in, I think it was 2019, and the 49ers went to the Rams when the Rams were still in Pasadena playing at the Rose Bowl. And the Rams gutted the 49ers on the first drive and they just ran it every single play and they ran it. And then Robert Saleh, still the 49ers defensive coordinator, went at a tablet and he adjusted. And then the Rams didn't score the rest of the game, as far as I remember.
Yeah.
They got shut down on fourth down. And that one drive that the Jets had, where it was Wilson beating them, basically he just beat zone. It was like wrap ins, like digs, just behind the linebackers. And it was third down. And you're like, oh, is this going to be a problem? Nope.
Nope.
Just one drive.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought they did a nice job adjusting. I thought Malik Collins was immense in this game, and that was a big question mark, right? How much should we talk about Malik Collins this past week?
A ton.
Because we just didn't know what he was, and we saw some clips, and you go, that could be interesting.
Right.
I thought he was just a menace. I thought Javon Hargrave was a menace. I thought Nick Bosa was exceptional. I thought Leonard Floyd was flying. Yeah. I got to eat a little bit of crow for night on Leonard Floyd. He was out there
and
making stuff happen.
And he did where Bosa got the pressure and Floyd cleaned it up. It's like, I'm not going to be the first one to win. But what happens a lot is Bosa would win and then no one would be there. And Floyd's like, I can be there waiting for the sack. And that's his thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why they got him. They wanted someone with just relentless motor so that when Nick Bosa does his job but can't finish it because one man can only do so much, there's someone to do the job.
And just real quick.
Yeah.
There is a bromance between Javon Hargrave and Malik Collins that's borderline adorable. These enormous men.
They're little balls of men.
Who were just so physical. They, I think, same draft class.
Yeah.
They worked together in the offseason. Yep. I talked to Collins about it, and he was, like, buzzing this week at the prospect. And he's like, I botched it on one play today, and Hargrave cleaned it up. It's pretty great.
I thought they were both really, really good. And they have to be, right? Like, that's the only line of defense on the interior.
Yep.
If those guys aren't huge, this game is very different. Yep. This season is very different, but that looks like a really good 1-2 combo. Yeah. And you just have to look at the other side to say, well, I think they did a pretty nice job upgrading.
Yep.
Obviously, Kinlaw was on the other side, and the Niners looked at that guy, big man wearing 54, and just went ahead.
And that was the whole thing.
And again.
The Jets' game plan is just to run Breece Hall, and they kept doing it even when it didn't work.
Right.
I asked Collins, I'm like, were you surprised? He's like, I mean, they kept running it even when they were down by like 20 at the end.
Yeah.
It was weird.
I just want to take a victory lapse. It's too early. It's one game. Yep. And I do think that as much as when teams win, everything is hunky-dory, A-OK, right. All of your concerns have been quelled. I still think that if, you know, once we get away from this a little bit, we can find some things that, you know, hey, you kick 6 field goals. Like, I don't know, maybe put a couple of those in the end zone.
Right.
There's some things that I don't want to nitpick too negative of a point, because they whooped some ass tonight. Like, they didn't sneak one out. They kicked ass. And that matters. And it needs to be celebrated even by us, you know, negative Nancys. But, man, I can't get over how much 12 personnel they used in this game and how just 12, exciting
21,
that is.
21, 22, baby.
Okay, let's start with this. Kyle Juszczyk had an immense game as well.
Yeah, and caught one of those wheels that Jimmy overthrew him every goddamn time, and Purdy just went layup.
They were running that a couple of times. You didn't see two of them, and this is why the all 22 matters.
Yep.
So Kyle had one where Purdy just didn't see him. Okay, it was a cheap motion. For Juice. I think on the Manning cast, I saw coming across my Twitter feed that they were calling it CFL motion, and that Manning was having, well, which Manning? Peyton was having a conniption, because it's technically illegal.
Yeah.
But it wasn't getting called, so how illegal could it be? Regardless.
It's so on brand for the Manning. I love that.
Rules are rules. And Belichick's so, there just like,
so pissed he couldn't do it.
Right. And so they ran one, and it was a wheel route, right? A wheel route on a cheap motion. And Brock just couldn't get it. You know, the pass protection broke down. Get this, Colt McKivitz couldn't hold the block. And they threw it, you know, he didn't get it over the top. So he just went with the short dig route. And I think it was a drop by Ayuk, in fact.
Yep.
They ran the same play 2 quarters later. The exact same play. They had flipped it and put a little tweak on it to get the big game that went right to like the 2-3 yard line.
Because he released out the middle first. It wasn't just a pure like,
he was just going to be a lead blocker, and he just kept going. So instead of hitting them, and this is why it was a masterclass from Shannon, but they also did the same play again with that drag motion across cheap motion, and then Juice came back. It was like a 10-yard back, and he had space for days, and I think it was Sauce Gardner who had to pick him up in zone, and Sauce Gardner was 10 yards away from him. And it's like, this is when we talk about stuff they left on the field, like that was some grade A shit that Kyle was cooking up and just working against everything that the Jets were trying to do. He had their eyes in a blender. He was attacking their weaknesses. When we talk about the run game, okay, they won on the defense. They beat the defensive line. That says something. I thought they really messed up the linebackers. That's pretty par for the course, but like that says something. When Kyle saw the Jets defense, we talked about the Jets defense, best corners in the league. And Kyle's like, we'll see about that. We're going to see if these guys can play football. Because you know what Kyle always preaches with his corners? You got to be able to tackle. You have to be able. That's from day one when he showed up in 2017. Yep. The corners have to be able to tackle. They have to be part of the run game. Wide receivers have to block. Corners have to tackle. They ran it at Sauce Gardner so much they benched his ass.
I really do want to know what Salah said about that. I missed the comments.
Sounded
on
like
that.
Salah was in the spin zone tonight.
But
said there were a lot of good things they can take away from
this
game.
I actually don't know what the Jets can take from this. That's positive aside from like the couple plays with Wilson.
Yeah.
Like there's actually not much.
Wilson's a hell of a player. That catch he made.
Wilson's astounding. They need, I mean, first of all, they need.
Or Alan Lazard, who had 2 touchdown catches.
Yeah. Or one. One
no, time. He had 2.
You too?
Yeah, he had the one on Jagger Brown and the Tyrod Taylor.
I forgot the one at the end.
So Alan Lazard, MVP of the game for the Jets, and I thought he didn't have that good of a game.
Yeah. I grew up in New Jersey.
You know a little something about the Jets.
Worry about the hearts of a lot of middle-aged men in New Jersey.
The gabagool.
There's just such high cholesterol rates, I can say. I got high cholesterol. I'm just saying. I worry about them. I worry about my people back in New Jersey. And I think this is the sort of thing where Rodgers, he doesn't look right. And
he does not look right.
He doesn't look right.
And that can,
but
he hasn't played any
still,
football.
Still, it's so much better than what they had with Zach Wilson. They can win. They can be functional. I just like, they had such high hopes. And
didn't they know by now?
Yeah, but like you don't understand.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't understand.
I don't.
What New Jersey's like.
I grew up in Chicago around Bears fans, so no, I couldn't possibly understand wishful thinking.
It's just it's sad, and it's sadder because you should know better, but because you're stuck in New Jersey, which I love, but like you're stuck there, and you're like, all right, well, it's football season.
Yeah,
got something, and then it's nothing, And that's tough when you know it early. When you know it early, mm-hmm. that's really tough.
When you get punched, when your team doesn't look physical, right? And what did Joe Douglas, the GM of the Jets, do? He wanted to help them out on the trenches. We want to fix the trenches. We want to give Aaron Rodgers clean pockets. We want to be able to run the football with impunity. We want to be able to get after the quarterback. We want to attack, attack, attack. And for them to get so roundly kicked in the trenches speaks volumes. Take it one step further than that. This was a B-minus, C-plus offensive game from the 49ers.
Oh, yeah, they botched. They had, again, like you said, they had a lot left out.
Run game's an A. Run game's an A. Pass, I don't know. I mean, Brandon Ayuk drops a touchdown in the corner.
Yeah, that was tough. That was, listen. I think we all know, like, it's going to get overblown tomorrow. At the same time,
it should be highlighted.
The way things went down, the way negotiations went down, You can't drop.
I mean, it's perfect for
him. I know it's a diving catch. I know it's not easy, but like you wanted to be in that upper echelon.
$30 million
and
a year.
It's really 25.33. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's in that echelon, and the negotiations went so far that to drop that, it doesn't really matter. It won't matter in the course of the season, but it is like really, you gotta just catch it.
It's difficult too, because the 49ers found themselves in situations where, you know, it didn't feel like they had a rhythm, right? Debo was getting moved around a lot. They're trying to get Kittle freed, and by putting in Saubert, that gives them opportunity. But it's hard against really good corners. Say what you will about them in the run game. It's hard against really good corners when you're in 11 or when you're in 21 and 12 personnel. The only time that they had passing success is when they went into 11 personnel, and Juwan Jennings had a really nice game.
And there were a couple plays I saw Ayuk break free, and either Purdy didn't have the time to look for him. That happens plenty
pass,
with Ayuk.
Pass pro was average, too.
It started off pretty poor early, and then it got better.
Yeah.
Pooney obviously had a really good game. I'm going to hesitate to say it was like the greatest game of all time, like some people are anointing it, just because I haven't watched all the tape.
It looked really good in the run game. He's very good in short bursts.
I didn't see him make a lot of mistakes.
He was probably the best offensive lineman today. I thought Trent had a couple of off plays. It's hard without the tape. You're not watching the ball, but it's hard not to watch the ball. You know.
But I will say, you know, we had a lot of concerns about this team going in, and you know us. We've got some
negative names.
Because there's a lot of, oh my God, this is the greatest team of all time. And so, obviously, that's the obvious thing.
Bring it back.
The obvious thing is that they are the most talented roster.
It's
what could go wrong. And they didn't have Christian McCaffrey, and they dominated the hell out of the Jets.
Yeah.
Like, you got to feel good about that. You got to feel good that, like, it was sloppy and it was easy. Mm-hmm. And this was you got, like, a six-game stretch to start the season where you really need to go, like, 4-2 at worst, 5-1 really.
Yeah.
This is one of the harder ones, the start of the season.
Totally.
And they won it easily. I think that goes a long way. That goes a long way. They needed to start on the right foot. We had questions whether it would start right, mm-hmm. and it did. And point blank period, they started on the literal exact right foot.
And not only that, they won in a manner which feels very repeatable. Right, because it wasn't smoke and mirrors, right? They weren't winning with trick play. In fact, their trick play looked like ass. Like,
meanwhile, if McKivitz or Banks just had a little bit more awareness to catch Sauce Gardner, Debo was probably going to house that play.
It's true. At the same time, it's a double reverse, which is blown up before the second pitch. Regardless,
and then Debo made like five guys miss.
They
awesome.
And Debo wasn't, you know, Debo looked like the same Debo, right? Yep. So this notion of a new Debo showing up, oh, he looks so spry, he looks so ready. He's still Debo, right? Yep. Not separating in man-to-man, still needs routes to get him open. Nothing wrong with that. That's been his entire career. Can still make five guys miss. He's a hell of a football player. He's a really fun player, and I'm glad he gets the new restructured contract. He's here for another year on top of this one, and they go, hey, as part of that restructuring, we're not going to do that whole we're not going to use you as a running back shit anymore. We're taking that clause out. Here's your 18 mil.
Right. I think if there's any negatives, I think safety, there was that bust that led to a touchdown. I got to see what it was. It looked like Jair Brown
Like he bit on nothing.
Or that he was expecting Odom to be back there, and so he was going to drop down. I got to see it. That
It's on one of the two safeties.
The safeties didn't look like stellar. I'm not going to – again, safety play is something you really need to watch on all 22. But it was, we'll see. We'll see.
If safeties are destiny, today was not a day where destiny was tested, as evidenced by the fact that they won in the trenches.
They were fine.
But there will be teams that can go toe-to-toe with them in the trenches, or at least keep it close enough to where the safeties are going to have to be a factor.
Yeah.
And it's an inauspicious start there, while not being at all catastrophic by any stretch.
And
the Kibitz.
Yeah, we knew that. You know,
we knew it.
They're paying him to be what he is.
I mean,
at right tackle.
If we want to put a negative spin on it, they're having to play Saubert in order to compensate for McKivitz.
On the upside, by playing Saubert, like that one play, Kittle got a 26-yard catch. Saubert chipped and released, which Kittle has to do a ton.
Yeah,
which is why he doesn't. You know, even though he had a 1,000-yard season last year, sometimes you're like, why isn't he involved more? Because of stuff like that. You go 21 personnel, got more options. 21 and 12.
Yeah.
You know,
21 is
22 and 12. You're right.
22. Yeah.
My bad. We're just
numbers.
We're real
wonks.
One takeaway, guys are talking about the defense.
Yeah.
I like talked to Fred Warner this training camp. And I was trying to sort of get out like what went wrong with the defense. And he didn't get into specifics because you don't want to disparage Steve Wilks.
Of course.
But like,
but he's also
we all knew it was not right. And he was like, you know when it doesn't look right. You know when it's not working. And we have a standard. And he's like, and we had moments of greatness, which they did last year. But they also had moments where they fell apart. And it just didn't feel right. Today, with Warner coming out flying like a genuine bat out of hell, where he forced that fumble on Breece Hall. He led the team with 7 tackles. He was all over the goddamn place. That, especially from a leader and a player who's playing faster than anyone else on defense, that matters in setting a standard for the rest of the season. That goes a long way, I think.
I talked to Patrick Willis about it, and he just said that he's a tone setter and that he's just in awe of his ability to float in the pass game. And that's a Hall of Fame linebacker, one of the best to ever do it. Just saying, man, Fred Warner, what a dude. Yeah. Okay, Mitchell and Ness has come in a couple of times with the clock management before the half. Now, there are two things that happened here. One, Kyle loves the 2-for-1 more than any human being on the planet.
Quote, unquote, lapping the team.
You want to lap
get the ball in the second half.
Whatever. It's a really funny inside joke that is not really funny or really that inside anymore. But he refuses to give the other team the ball with any. He'll kick the field goal 100 times out of 100 so long as the other team doesn't get a chance to score a touchdown or a field goal before the end of the half if the Niners receive the second half kick.
It's sound logic. It's also maddening, and they get too conservative at times, efforting towards protecting the clock.
It's conservative by nature, and conservative by nature rarely wins in the NFL. But as I've been telling people on this stream and my columns everywhere, radio, a lot of the head coach's job, or at least they think their job, is risk management. And so in that case, they're thinking that's 3 free points, when in fact it's a missed 4-point opportunity.
Correct.
And they would rather have the 3 than the possibility of 0. It's the
versus,
same reason everyone's putting it through the back of the end zone on kickoffs.
Versus a team like the Chiefs, who, when you go back to the Super Bowl,
the neck.
And you see Patrick Mahomes go, oh, you want the ball first?
Yeah.
And because the 49ers' logic was, well,
we
score, they score, and then we can win it. Whereas the Chiefs would have gone for 2 anyway, because that's their logic.
Right.
Instead of being, we're going to win the game, we're going to take it into our own hands, it's, all right, let's prevent that. And I do wonder if at a certain point the trust in Brock might shift that tendency a little bit with Kyle.
In a positive way?
In a positive way. I doubt it, but we'll see. And again, when it works,
made it this far.
When you kick a field goal at the end of the half and the other team doesn't get it and you score again, it looks great.
Yeah.
But when you set up a field goal and it misses, instead of like trying to push it and then you don't score on the other drive, you're like, what? Why?
There's also, I'm trying to recall this specifically.
Yeah.
There was also a play where Juwan Jennings came off the field and left the 49ers with 10 guys. So they had to call a timeout, because they only had 10 guys. And as soon as Jennings came off the field, I go, that doesn't look – is that 10 guys? And then we're counting.
Otherwise,
and there was so much time to go –
12?
No. No one came on.
Right.
And so
because otherwise I think there would have been a penalty.
No, you can play 10.
No, I mean, I'm saying if you – there was a moment where like two – I don't know.
No, there's a couple of those, but like there was specifically Jennings came off the field. No one else came on. And you're like, you have 2 wide receivers, 1 running back, 1 tight end. It's a new form of 11
experimentation.
11 personnel.
Experimenting with the form, you know.
Yeah, it's 0-1-1 personnel. So yep. I think that's what happened. And that's obviously, listen, that's not to exonerate Kyle. His team had 10 players on the field. Like, that's his fault.
Right.
Right. I know that, you know, Juwan Jennings can get a little spacey sometimes. Juwan Jennings had himself a masterful game as per usual. Yeah. Third and Juwan is
just
still
a
very
football
much a thing.
Player.
Big fan of that. There was a point in when we're talking about ass kickings, I want to just note this stat before we get out of here. Mm-hmm. There was a point in this game the 49ers were outgaining the Jets 300-100.
Is that good?
I don't think it's bad.
It's something where I used the stats when I was like writing up the game.
Yeah.
Before the last drive, because you just knew there's going to be some bullshit garbage time. They, even with that, it's pathetic. Like, Breece Hall, before that little chunk run at the end that didn't matter,
yeah,
he had 14 carries for 35 yards. Bad day if you picked first or second in fantasy football.
Yeah.
Not great.
To say the
least.
Not
great.
So this game was 16-7 at the half. That doesn't feel indicative.
Which felt over.
Felt over. You just saw Rodgers, yeah, right? He was 7 for 11, 64 yards. He had,
and they couldn't run it.
They couldn't run the
we
ball.
Said that
Breece
from
Hall,
the start. They had to run it and they couldn't.
Breece Hall 2.5 yards per carry in the first half, with Jordan Mason was 6.7. And Debo had 7 carries for 23 yards in the first quarter. It doesn't sound, listen, Schefter isn't throwing this out there as wish casting.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like the Niners are going to play McCaffrey against the Vikings after today. I'm not sure why you would. And I do think what will happen, I'm just going to make a little prediction here because we have a shorter week.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of folks who didn't actually watch the Vikings-Giants game are going to be like, wow,
right,
Minnesota's a really good football team. When in fact, they're like average. They're like a 7-8.
They're a feisty little team that
well
you kind of write off because of a backup quarterback, but they've got weapons. They've got some players. I actually like their defense, and Brian Flores still brings it. Man.
He brings it.
Like, Ivan Pace is a great linebacker. They got some pieces.
I'm not saying they're not a shitty team, right? Like, they will, again, win 7-8 in a perfect world, 9 games.
Yeah.
You're talking about a Niners team whose Vegas over-under win total was 11.5. And that are the favorites by almost a 2-to-1 factor to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. So, like, there is a difference between the two of these operations here. And I would recommend to anybody who has access to NFL Plus or knows somebody who can get you a condensed game, watch Sam Darnold. Like, he completed the easy stuff, and a lot of that stuff was easy. And there were a couple of nice throws, but a lot of that is Kevin O'Connell. And it was very much like, remember when Nick Mullins was the quarterback here? When Nick Mullins was the quarterback for the Vikings last year, imagine Nick Mullins with an arm. That's a pretty good quarterback. No one's arguing that that's not a good player, that guy shouldn't start. That's what it looked like against the Jets defense, which is awful. I'm sorry.
Giants.
Doesn't both matter. Of the
they
New
should,
Jersey
they
teams
should combine.
Raise the Meadowlands. like, the Giants defense was as bad as the Giants offense in that game. And the Giants offense got 24 hours of unfettered just ass kicks on Sports Talk Radio New York today. I even tuned into WFAN just to get a little taste of the good stuff because it's such a positive market here in the Bay.
What do you think about McCaffrey? So it's I think it's a situation where it sounds like he's not going to play next week against Minnesota. They're going to the Rams.
You're
really going to bring him back for a turf game?
That's a good question.
I would guess no. Like, do you and are you going to need him for the Patriots? Do you just say, first 4 weeks of the season, no. Because, like, you're probably going to be fine without him against the Patriots. After that, Cardinals. That feels like a logical spot. I'm not saying he's going to miss that much time or that he needs to. But, like, I don't think you want him coming back on a turf field game. He's going to miss next week.
Yeah.
And again, like the Patriots. Like, you really need him? Maybe you want him. Maybe you...
Who the fuck knows?
We'll see. I'm just saying, if Mason is looking like how he's looking, I could see if it's like week 5. Because who knows? And this is someone
into masterful gambits.
This is somebody who accidentally said there was 100% chance that he would play today.
You don't have to keep copping to it.
I know. But
we're about accountability.
A massive amount of guilt, I have to say it. I just went, because he said he's going to play. And then I said that, and I went, oh no. So who knows?
By the way, it's a fine domestic Bud Light here for all those claiming I drink O'Doul's, which, why would I bother with the carbs?
Yeah.
Okay.
questions we want to get to? Or
yeah, anything, let's. Okay, so here we go. Dumpster Fire Dan, legendary sicko Dumpster Fire Dan. Devondre Campbell looked bad. I wonder what they're going to do there.
I got to watch again, but I saw plays that he missed a couple tackles.
I saw a couple okay ones, but yeah.
I looked about what I expected.
The real challenge, and I do think that the Vikings are a team that can take advantage of this because they can cut across. They got good receivers, right? They have three really good receivers. Yep. They have a running back in Aaron Jones who can do it. Their offensive line is a little wonky, but if they can get to the second level, Aaron Jones can really make them work. I'm of the mindset that David Lombardi trying to sneak in, trying to ruin the stream. I'm of the mindset that the Vikings are going to see what Devondre Campbell put on film, just as we will, and probably go, I found him.
And that's why I pointed it out last time. It just turns out this Jets team is.
It was really.
And they did complete some balls behind Campbell where he just didn't operate the zone.
Yeah, there was a dig route for
Wilson. I think it was the first one to start it.
Was it Lazard or was it?
No, it was Wilson. Wilson wrapped in behind him. And
did any receiver other than Lazard or Wilson catch a ball?
That's actually a great question. Did anyone?
No.
That's awesome. The only people to catch passes, that was the first half.
That was the first half. I'm pulling it up.
Yeah, I honestly don't think so. Conklin caught a pass.
He's their tight end. Who's B. Allen?
Braylon Allen, their backup running back. He's the only other one? That's
Lazard, Wilson, Hall, Allen, Conklin.
Because then Mike Williams didn't play. And so that's their thing. That's the thing that the Jets are really going to bank on is a guy coming off
Xavier,
what's an ACL.
Yeah, or Xavier Gibson. Who didn't get open all game.
I just don't know if I see it with them, man. It's week one, but Rodgers is going to have to be a lot better. The offense is going to have to.
What happened to Malachi Corley?
Holy shit. Was he on the field?
No.
I said he was an X factor. Remember how people kept comparing him to Debo just because he catches short passes over the middle?
Listen, anyway. You can take a victory lap on that one.
Any other questions before we get out of here?
Dieter, what was up with the Mason post-game rant? So we were in the locker room talking to the real football players. No, sorry. We were talking to Saubert, and
we really just wanted to talk.
We just wanted
Eric
to talk
Saubert.
To the big boy, talk to Pooney. I don't know about the rant.
What did Jordan Mason
so
say?
Like apparently Mason's presser was a little weird. The theory that I have heard, and I will just baselessly throw this into the universe, bad journalism coming your way. It sounds as if Mason told somebody before the game that he knew he was starting.
Or after the game.
Or after that he knew well ahead of time.
And the 49ers are going to get in trouble.
Probably lying.
At least investigated about.
Right. So I think that's what was going on there. Where, let's be pretty clear about this. The Niners have known. We didn't. You didn't, unless you knew. Please tell us next time.
Apparently they knew Friday McCaffrey or Mason would start. It's unclear whether McCaffrey wouldn't play. The way Schefter reported it, which it's coming from the 49ers, so
there he's he's here.
So that's it's a little weird.
This is another Niners move, which is a little too cute, right? Okay, we're going to list him as questionable, which, when we operate on questionable, what? That's 50-50?
I mean, they can do whatever they want, I think.
You should probably put him down as doubtful. I mean, this is probably parsing.
Yeah, but if... he said his hamstring was I don't know. I think the whole thing's a little stupid.
So I think that I think that's what happened. Mason, let's just be real about this, is not a guy who gets a lot of media attention. Not a guy that we've talked to maybe more than two or three times just in the locker room.
I didn't see it. I have to see what it was. I don't know what he said.
But, I heard from enough people just hanging out in the locker room. Yeah. Takeaways from locker room access.
I don't know. They're in good shape. They loved running the ball a lot.
Yep.
They had a lot. They had a great time. I think everybody had a great time because they stuffed the Jets run game and everybody's friends and everyone's back together. Everyone probably, except for Brandon Ayuk, who's like, God damn it. I know. Stop. Yeah, I dropped it, which is fair, but that's what you got to eat when you had the offseason you did. It'll get easier for him. He'll be fine. Other takeaways from locker room, they're good. They're still good. They did it without a few guys and with some guys limited. And that's pretty impressive.
It's always good to see a team keep it simple and kick ass.
Right? That's what it came
There's a
to.
Lot to build off of there. And whenever not that anyone's going to have this question, but if this team gets down the line, mm-hmm. as many expect them to do, I think including us, if this team gets down the line and we get into the slobber knocking part of the season, and I'm looking specifically at the week of Thanksgiving, you go at Green Bay. By the way, Jordan Love should probably be back by then, and Green Bay will be fighting for its life, I imagine. Yep. And then at Buffalo, who is just chaos, right? Like, as you'd expect.
And the last time they played Buffalo, which was that 2020 season, the 49ers were a little delusional. And they were like, we are going to come back, and it's this game. And then they lost that game, and the season was over. And it was Josh Allen.
Yep.
That is the last time they played Buffalo. 2020 doesn't Allen really break. Count, but Josh Allen broke them. And I think it was a Nick Mullins game.
It was, I'm they pretty were, sure they were right on the precipice, and they're like, we can still do this. We can still do it. And they went, and they were, it was in Arizona.
Right.
And Josh Allen, like, four guys got injured in that game, seriously. And Josh Allen just whooped their ass.
You never know. The Bills can suck, and they still have Josh Allen.
That's right. So you never take them lightly. But when I'm thinking about those games, and you're thinking about the way that you win in cold weather, in nasty conditions, late in the year, guys are injured. You're just, it's a gut check. Niners gut checked in week one. They didn't have to. They did it because that's the easiest, the straightest path to the end zone is a straight line. And they just did it. And fucking Eric Saubert and Kyle Juszczyk and fucking Jordan Mason, game balls for the three of them. And Fred Warner was unbelievable.
I'll end it on this. And I know we said it a lot.
Yeah.
But if there's one word, one takeaway from this game, Saubert.
Saubert.
Saubert. That's it, folks.
All right. Thanks, guys. That's it. We'll talk to you.
Appreciate you, folks.
Later. Jake's going to fucking Japan, so you're stuck with me.